Do you know what the secret is to keep a baby's skin healthy? The secret is a diaper that doesn't leave skin wet. You've heard me talk about Pampers Swaddlers on our podcast many, many times now, and that's because Pampers Swaddlers is the diaper for healthy baby skin. Pampers Swaddlers absorbs wetness better than the leading value brand and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection and up to 0% skin irritation. And if you're a fan of Pampers, you've got to check out their new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes, which clean better than Huggies Natural Care and are 5 times stronger, so they resist tearing during a diaper change. With Free and Gentle, mess meets its match. And if you're like me and you love saving and getting rewarded for something you gotta buy anyway, like diapers, don't forget to download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers Cash. You can redeem your Pampers Cash for exclusive Pampers coupon savings and rewards. Try Swaddlers with new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello, my dear friends and listeners of the podcast. Thank you so much for tuning back to my show, No Dumb Questions with Mel. As I'm recording this episode, I will say it's been one heck of a week. So this week, it is our final week in my apartment in LA. The moving van just arrived earlier today and picked up all our stuff and is heading over to New York. And I will say, as much as it's been super crazy, I've been trying to enjoy every little moment of our apartment with my roommates and LA as much as I can. Like, we've been watching Love is Blind together, sitting on these cushions because we don't have a couch no more. And tonight, we are getting our final El Pastor burrito from our favorite taco truck, Tacos to Mex, and just having a chill night with my roommates. For today's episode, I wanted to chat through something very important to me that I don't get to share a lot, and it's about self-growth. So I saw this comment on a recent podcast video on YouTube, and this person, she mentioned how she noticed that I've grown a lot during the last few years, and I'm assuming she's probably a listener from the beginning, you know, from 2018, and that comment just meant a lot to me. It also made me realize that, you know, I've done a lot of quiet self-work the last few years that has benefited me so much. And when I think about doing the work, I see it as progressing yourself in the pillars that you value. You know, there's a sense of alignment when it comes to self-growth. That's where the self comes from, you know, it comes from you. And during my spare time, I do listen to a lot of self-help podcasts. And one of my values is personal growth. So whenever I feel stagnant in life, that's when I know I am not mentally in a good place. So if you're someone that either one, values personal growth as well, or two, you're just feeling stagnant, or three, you're working on yourself, but you're not seeing the results that you want. So with this episode, I hope to share with you the skills that I worked on to really see change. But like always, before we get started on today's episode, let's head into my Google segment. So the latest thing I Googled is something for ABG and more on the, I guess, like the worky side of me is I Googled 2024 social media trends. And this may be old news to a lot of you, but as a refresher for those who are, you know, newish listeners, prior to ABG, my full-time job has always been in social media marketing. I worked for corporate companies that sold products. I also worked for media companies, and I learned a lot during that time. All the structure and the tools that I've learned from my social media managers, my directors, I have brought over to ABG. And one thing I still do that is more internal is that I create reports for social media every quarter and annually. Annually, what I do is at the end of the year, I take a look at the whole year's worth of content, and I see if we hit our goals, if we didn't, why not, and what content worked and what didn't. And one part of my annual report is that I actually do a little bit of looking into forecasting for the new year. So that is usually when I would, you know, Google the trends. And this is when I would read different reports or articles from credible sources. Like one example is Sprout Social. I've learned this during my corporate era. And I watch a bunch of videos from conferences or experts talking about what they think is going to happen in the new year in terms of social. I then share my findings and my meetings with Ashley, who has also been pulling her own research, and we chat through what we discovered. I love discussion about this. I think it's really fun. It stimulates my mind. And we kind of find ways on how we can incorporate these trends or findings into our own social media strategy and do it in our own way. I just find this whole process to be really fun. I love the analytical side of social. The challenging yet fun thing about this is that, you know, as we're looking at the trends, the challenging part is to how do you integrate these trends to your strategy, but do in your own way. Because I do see how with social, like with trends, people say like nothing's really truly new and you're kind of just mimicking other people. You're copying the trends, which you're seeing a lot right now on TikTok and Reels. I think it's okay to do that. But I think the challenging creative way is to how do you integrate that and make it your own? Because I do think that essentially social media, you're representing a voice, a brand, and you have your own distinct, unique voice. So when you're mimicking other people, that's not you using your voice, and that's how you lose your authenticity. Anyways, I can literally go on about this topic because I find social to be quite interesting. I'm not sure if anyone else finds this interesting, but if you guys do want me to do an episode on social media marketing and some things that have helped me along the way, because I've been in here for 10 years, I would love to do it. Just let me know. But yeah, DM me if you're like, hey, I want a social media episode. Alrighty, before I get started with sharing with you all the three skills I developed and learned to see results with my self-growth, I do want to preface it by saying this is what worked for me, and everyone is on their own journey with figuring out what works for them. I think we all are built differently, at different personalities that we inherently have, or we're just all very different. And I do find that with talking with different people, they have their own methods that work for them. But I will say, I love talking about personal development with a lot of my friends. And some of the skills I'm going to talk about, they have mentioned it in the past. And I just hope that these skills really help you. And lastly, with these skills, I do say it in a step-by-step order because I do think this order kind of matters. This is the order I follow to see results. And these are the things I literally do all the time. So I'm excited to get started. Step one, and the first skill I think is needed, is the skill of self-awareness. And self-awareness is the ability to tune into your own feelings, thoughts, and actions. Essentially, you need to know your own opinion and feelings on things. Do you know what makes you happy? Do you know what makes you excited? Do you know what excites you? Do you know what touches your heart? Do you know what makes you sad? Do you know what makes you mad? These are all things I think fall within self-awareness that you should know. Self-awareness, again, is not a skill that just pops up, you know, overnight. This requires intentional work. And I think it's essential work that feeds into other parts of your life. Like, for example, I do think when you're self-aware, you understand when a job is no longer serving you and it's time to move on to the next move. You know if a relationship is working for you. And I think when you're self-aware, you just have more confidence in yourself. Just some quick things about this. Some observations that I've had is that I do think people who are, and I could be wrong, but these are just things I've noticed, is that I do find that people who are a little bit more sensitive and more emotional have more self-awareness. Not a higher amount, but like a little bit more aware. Because I think when you feel your feelings first, you're a feeler. You just kind of know how you're feeling. You're aware of them. Again, this is just probably coming from my own personal experience. I feel like I'm a strong feeler. Like I know instantly what's going to make me cry. But again, I also think self-awareness is something you constantly have to work on, that I feel like I'm constantly working on just to get better and be more aware. You might ask yourself like, oh, like why am I not self-aware? Like if you don't think you're a self-aware person, I did some research and found that like people who tend to lack self-awareness are people who are afraid to be vulnerable. Either they don't want to feel rejected when sharing their true self, or they're afraid to show their flaws, which honestly is very understandable. Because I think when you're vulnerable, you're literally allowing the world to judge you by being yourself. And it's really scary. And it's hard to get over that hump of just being afraid of rejection. So I understand. But I do think self-awareness is really important in helping you grow in other aspects of your life.
Do you know what the secret is to keep a baby's skin healthy? The secret is a diaper that doesn't leave skin wet. You've heard me talk about Pampers Swaddlers on our podcast many, many times now, and that's because Pampers Swaddlers is the diaper for healthy baby skin. Pampers Swaddlers absorbs wetness better than the leading value brand and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection and up to 0% skin irritation. And if you're a fan of Pampers, you've got to check out their new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes, which clean better than Huggies Natural Care and are 5 times stronger, so they resist tearing during a diaper change. With Free and Gentle, mess meets its match. And if you're like me and you love saving and getting rewarded for something you gotta buy anyway, like diapers, don't forget to download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers Cash. You can redeem your Pampers Cash for exclusive Pampers coupon savings and rewards. Try Swaddlers with new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
The next thing I want to talk about is probably asking yourself now, you're like, cool, I think self-awareness is something I want to improve. How do you do this? The first thing I'm going to suggest is this is your time to start journaling to identify your thoughts and why you feel certain ways. Just to give you guys a quick story, I actually started journaling when I first moved to LA for the first time in 2017 or 2016. And I started journaling because I had so many feelings that I couldn't identify right away. And I had no one to talk to because I was alone and I didn't want to bother my friends in the Bay Area. With spending like hours just journaling by myself, I developed this ability to just be aware of how I felt. I think it really just starts with you just setting intentional time just for you to just kind of ask yourself these questions. Like, I think it's with journaling, you're able to ask yourself the hard questions like, why am I feeling sad today? You know, I feel really depleted with life and why? That's like the first step. I think journaling helps with understanding the why. The why is so important. And this is what drives me all the time is the why. The second thing that, you know, you can look into to develop self-awareness is by going to therapy. I actually essentially went to therapy or started going because I had a panic attack at my corporate job. And the scariest feeling I felt was I actually didn't know why I had a panic attack. And when you have something so extreme like a panic attack, when you feel like you can't breathe and like all these insane thoughts are going in your head and not understanding the why, it's like really, really scary. And so I started going to therapy to understand, like, how did I get here? And I think by going, my goal with therapy essentially evolved into me just wanting to understand my feelings a lot more to prevent myself to getting to a place like a panic attack. So yeah, I think therapy is a great way to kind of dive deeper and just to, yeah, zone in on that why. The last thing, if you feel like if you're not sure if you're ready for therapy or other things, is to have an open and honest conversation with your close friends and family to kind of get their feedback. I feel like our friends and family know us so well. They have seen us do things. They see us react to things. And it does spark a very interesting conversation and be like, hey, I've noticed that you did this at this event. Do you mind telling me why? And that convo just opens up a door for them, for you to be aware of your behavior. And be like, oh, shoot, I didn't know I did that. Why? It's just like a great starting point. So last thing I'd say is, again, have conversation with your close friends and family. Now that we have walked through self-awareness as your first skill to develop and how are some ways you can do that, I'm going to take it a step further and talk about an activity I think you should do after you feel like you got into a place that you're comfortable and you are somewhat self-aware. And this activity I've learned from Helen, and the activity is to be aware of your values. Your values are so important because this is literally what drives you in life. This is what you find important. And I will say your values are yours alone, because I've definitely been in places before that before I did this activity, I used to just like list out values based on what my friends have said and not truly dig deep as to why I personally value these things. So by doing this value activity, it really opened up my eyes and I felt like I got, this sounds really woo, but I feel like I got more aligned with myself. So how do you do this activity? Well, it's really simple. You just get a notepad or, you know, you could just have a Google Doc open like I did and just Google values. Hundreds of words and values will pop up. And what you do is you just start highlighting or listing down the ones that really resonate with you. And what I did is I would list out the, when I looked at the values, I would also just Google search a definition to make sure that it truly is something I wanted to select. After you selected a list of values, your job now is to narrow down the list. And once you narrow down your list, you're going to like order it in the level of importance that you think. This is a little time consuming, but again, I think it's really important. I think values is like the next step further of being self-aware, like knowing, truly knowing your values. Once you write down your list, you might be surprised to see what comes up, like I was. So I'll share you my top 3 values. My first one was personal development, which kind of makes sense because I'm doing this episode. The second one was Inner Harmony. And you're probably like, what the hell is Inner Harmony? Inner Harmony for me is like doing activities that I truly want to do without any external factors. So for me, that's just like, I went to a surf camp in Costa Rica because I've always wanted to do a water sport. And I wanted to challenge myself to be in a different country and just learn a new skill. Surfing for me doesn't help at all with work whatsoever. It's truly just for me, for Mel. So that's why I define Inner Harmony as like, you're doing things truly for yourself, like for your pure enjoyment and happiness. My third value was actually friends and family. And the reason why I say it's really kind of important for me to do this like value exercise is that I actually thought friends and family would be top of my list. And finding out that it was my third, I was like a little ashamed because I'm like, oh crap, like, does that mean I don't care about my family and friends? Like, I was judging myself. But at the end of the day, like, this exercise is just supposed to tell you like, just kind of like what drives you and you're in the pillars. Like, I think if it was in a different order, it might not serve me as much. I still love my friends, family, but I just think this list helps you like clear cut shares with you your order of importance in your life. The next thing I'm going to share leads to my second skill. The first skill we talked about was self-awareness. The second skill I think you need to develop is proactiveness. So again, we just did your values activity. Now you know your values. You're aware of your values. Now what? Now you got to exercise the proactiveness and the proactive side of you. We're going to create a list of actionable items that you can do to feed these values. And I'll give you again an example. Like I mentioned, my first value was personal development. One action item I put under personal development was that I'm going to go a step further with my fitness and nutrition journey. And for 2024, I want to try a new workout class, specifically Pilates. I want to get on a good routine with Pilates. A lot of my friends have been saying it's challenging and they have saw great results. So what I did was I started Googling already classes, Pilates classes to take in New York. And to give you guys some comparison, like, yes, last year I also wanted to do fitness and nutrition, but in 2023, my goal was to actually familiarize myself with equipments at the gym and exercises, and I also hired a personal trainer. This year, I wanted to do Pilates and do something new. So this is something within my personal development value that I want to keep going at. The second value I had was inner harmony. Again, doing things purely for myself. So the action item I created under inner harmony was that I wanted to travel to a new place every quarter. Traveling really feeds my soul, and I realized I didn't do that enough last year. So when I say travel to a new place every quarter, it could be as simple as I want to check out a new neighborhood in New York to I want to go to DC with Ray, like a new city we both haven't explored. So it could be as small or as grand as you want. Another activity I have for inner harmony is I want to read one book a month. I realize reading really just allows me to escape to a different world, and I didn't get to do that enough last year, and yeah, wasn't as happy. So those are some activities I've created and action items I created under my values.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Now that you have action items that correlates with your values, now you just have to do it. I think this may be a personality trait that I got maybe from my mom, but I'm a huge believer that you can't wait for others to provide your happiness and you can't wait for others to do things. You just got to create this experience for yourself. Because I do think being proactive is like you're committing to yourself. I'm going to commit to do this activity. I will say that the reason why I'm harping on being proactive is that I think within goal setting and just self-growth, you're going to encounter a lot of barriers or checkpoints that will test you. And the first one is within the realm of proactiveness. Like, I think every year you see the whole like goal setting, the vision boarding, but what are people doing with that? You have a goal, but are you going to do anything about it? What are you going to do about it? This is the test. This is the world saying, great. I see that you have ambition, but are you gonna put in the work to get there? And that's why I think you have to develop the skill of proactiveness. Like, this is a test. You got to develop this. And the reason why I think it's important to write the actionable items out, it gives you things to do. It's not just like a list of goals now. Like you could actually, these are like a to-do list, essentially. Again, this works for me because I am I'm a doer. So creating a list of items I can actually do, it's such a tangible way of hitting my goals. Like I feel like it's a guarantee if you have an action list. And the last skill that I think people should develop that I've actually just developed recently is the skill of discipline. Oof, discipline. I think we hear this a lot. I actually had to Google, like, what is the definition of discipline? And the definition is the correction or regulation of oneself for the sake of improvement. Yeah, what does that mean? Well, I do think after you get over the hump of finally taking action, you're like, yay, I'm finally being proactive and I'm bringing myself to wherever I need to be. You're going to be hit with another barrier and checkpoint. And that is when you catch yourself saying, I don't want to go right now. I don't want to do this. I'm so busy. I can't. It's pretty much when all the excuses come flooding in. And it's inevitable. Like, shoot, I've been there. I'm there every week when it comes to the gym. And being disciplined is the ability to overcome those feelings and to do it anyway. It's very mental. And you see this a lot when it comes to fitness. I use this all the time, especially when it comes to going to the gym. So for example, for the longest time when it came to working out, which is why I actually think I didn't actually start my fitness journey earlier, is because for the longest time, I was told that, oh, you have to find what you love with fitness. Like, I love running. I love blah, blah, blah. And yes, that does work for certain people. But for me, I didn't like it. Like, I think the joy of working out sometimes isn't enough for me. And so that's when the discipline had to kick in. And so when I learned that with fitness and nutrition, it's mostly about discipline. It's not about like the enjoyment. I mean, that's great. You'll find it along the way. But it's discipline. There are a lot of mornings I'm like, I don't want to go to the gym. But there are some tactics that I do to develop my discipline and to get myself through the door. So let me show you some examples. How are ways to build up discipline? One skill or one how-to is ignoring that I don't want to go feeling. This is the one I utilize the most. And it's funny because I got this from a breakup. So quick tangent, when I was going through my breakup in 2018, the one that I shared about in the podcast, I had this really toxic behavior of always wanting to stalk him and check on where he's at, if he's dating someone new, whatever, post-breakup. And I would just spiral. I was not mentally in a good place. And one technique or tip I got from like a TED talk or some dating coach on YouTube was like, the moment you find yourself wanting to look up their name or wanting to check them on social, distract yourself for that quick second. Just distract your mind. Like, be present in where you are. Go to the fridge, you know, look at your nails, like something so simple. And this also blends with Eckhart Tolle's concept of ego and being present. Anyways, use that quick second to distract yourself. One day, like months later, I found myself and I recognized, I was like, oh, I don't stalk him anymore. And I was like, holy shit, this works. And so with fitness, what I do is the time my alarm goes off to say, hey, Mel, get ready for the gym, a thought always arises that goes, I don't want to go. But what happens before I let myself think I don't want to go, I go, I don't. My mind goes, I don't. I just start like, I get my ass up. I like go downstairs. I drink water. I just distract my mind with a different thought as I'm tying my shoes. And by the time I'm distracting myself, I find myself walking through the doors of the gym. That moment of distraction really, really helps. Another how is removing temptations. I'm sure we hear this all the time, but another way I was able to build up discipline when it comes to work and being extremely productive is I have turned off every notification on my phone. I will never get notified when someone texts me. I won't get notified when someone emails me, whatever. I will go into the app to check, but turning off notifications and turning off distractions really helps and allows me to be disciplined with my work. The last how that works for me on how to become disciplined is make the hard moments a little bit more bearable. Like again, I'll use working out as an example. Yeah, I don't like it sometimes. I really don't. I'm always thinking about the last thing my trainer makes me do is like, you have to end it with like 15 minutes on the treadmill, whatever. I'm like, dude, do you think I want to be on a treadmill after like lifting weights for like 40 minutes? I don't. I was like, okay, how can I make this more fun? I started watching the halftime Super Bowl shows as I do my cool down, my treadmill sessions. And it makes it more fun. I feel like I'm there. I'm at a concert, you know? Another thing is I do have alarms that go off every day to kind of like make sure I'm on time for things. I make my alarm sound quite pleasant. It's like from this OST from Yumi Cell, just to make everything a little bit more enjoyable. And I think the last thing about discipline that's really helped me is just understanding that the idea of discipline is knowing that you are working towards long-term gratification versus instant. And it is, again, a process or journey. I think with that, I'm able to not be so hard on myself. I'm not seeing the results I want right away, but I'm building up the discipline to help me in the long run to get to these bigger goals, to get to what I want down the line. Because you're not going to see change overnight. By building discipline, you are getting over those checkpoints and those barriers slowly and surely. Then just telling myself, like, it's okay, I'm going to get there. It's a journey. And I'm doing this for the long haul. I'm doing this for the end goal. So those are some things that have really helped me when it comes to building discipline. And I was actually talking to Ray, my boyfriend, about this because, fun fact, he's actually one of the most disciplined individuals ever. He is on a strict nutritional diet every day in the week. He fasts and he works out every morning at 5. And he told me, for me, he's like, discipline is what you do when no one's watching. And I kind of like that saying. All right, so just to give you a recap, the three skills that I think would be great to develop to get started on your self-growth journey to see some results is 1, self-awareness, 2, proactiveness, and 3, discipline. And I really hope by sharing these 3 skills and talking you through some ways to develop them or what worked for me, you'll be able to see some change that you want in your life that you may not be seeing and get to the place that you want to be. I'm definitely missing a lot of skills, but wanted to share the bare bones and the basics that have worked, again, for me. If you have other skills that you thought really worked for you, please DM me or comment on the Instagram post. I'd love to share it with the other listeners. Again, my ultimate goal with this episode is I just want everyone to live a fulfilling and happy life and just get to the place where you all want to be. Again, I just really love personal development, and I just know with the right techniques and the right habits, we can all get there. Actually, speaking of habits, a skill I didn't really talk about today that I probably could do another episode on is just talking about building good habits. So if that's something you want to hear also on top of the social media marketing episode, again, let me know. I'm here to share my experiences and tell my stories in order to help you guys also grow. And again, thank you so much for listening to this episode. This one may be a favorite. We'll see. But again, I always appreciate y'all coming here, listening, and gaining something. Again, make sure to follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else you get your podcasts. Thank you so much, and I'll catch you on the next episode. Goodbye, everyone.